One of my favourite things to do is to wake up really early, which most people think, oh, I'm not a morning person, but I never used to be, but I do love to wake up early now, and I love to jump on my bike and cycle. And one of my favourite things to do is actually chase the sunrise, which is getting a whole lot harder in summer because I like to get up early, but I don't like to get up that early. So in winter, I can usually make it to the beach on my bike by time the sun is just sneaking over the horizon there. And I love getting there and just taking a few moments to pause because the light displays are spectacular. There's just something about the sunrise. And on the screen are just a couple of photos I've taken just with my phone, so a pretty basic camera. And each sunrise is different. The colours are different. The clouds are different. The light is always different somehow. And it's magnificent. And you can always see, there is always someone at the beach sitting there or walking along the beach just kind of looking at the sunrise. There's something about it that captures our attention that is beautiful. And the Bible talks about God being our source of light in heaven. And we have the sun here as our source of light. And there are so many correlations we can make between that. But as the sunrise, it brings light and colour and hope and beauty. But the Bible talks about this is just a shadow of what's to come. How amazing the light is going to be in heaven. How brilliant and spectacular not only the light, but what we're seeing in heaven is going to be. So on the screen now, we're just going to watch a couple of quick interviews about how beautiful heaven is.
So take us back to that day. You saw the 18-wheeler come. What was the next memory you had?
Well, I took my last breath on the bridge, and my next breath was at one of the 12 gates of heaven. I'm looking through the gates. I'm looking down the street. There is a river that flows from this throne or this hill that's high and lifted up, and I know that's the river of life because we're told that it flows from the throne of God. So many of the things that we know and enjoy and love here are visible there as well. I would say this, and heaven's never going to be less than this. It's always going to be more.
Yeah.
In heaven, it's all big. I mean, it so far transcends any words that we can happen, that we could come up with here. If you want to talk about meadows and flowers and beauty, and if you want to talk about trees.
Did you see that?
Oh, yes. They're just magnificent, except that they are so brilliant and so vivid as to really defy description.
So you live in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, one of the most beautiful places on earth. How did that compare to this beautiful path leading to heaven?
One of the problems that I and most people had when they came back from a near-death experience is that even the most intense beauty here on earth, even the most intense love here on earth is very, very pale in comparison to the intensity of the love and to the intensity of the beauty in God's world. Everything was far more intense. The colors were beyond anything we could ever experience here.
So we are talking about the beauty of heaven this morning. And God has created our earth, and we think about all of the places we can go to here, and there are some absolutely spectacular places here on earth. And you can Google pictures on the internet, and you just time and time again go, wow, wow, spectacular waterholes, rainforests that are amazing. It's mind-blowing. But this is just a glimpse of what's in heaven. So imagine what we're seeing, but by a billion times or whatever the times is, it's going to be amazing. And like those sunrise photos I had on my phone, when you see those, they're just a 2D representation of what I was actually looking at. They don't capture what it was actually like when I was there. It was way more spectacular. Those photos don't even give justice to the colours I was looking at. Amazing. And imagine we're standing in heaven. So heaven's the 3D experience. And looking at earth would be like looking at a 2D photo. Heaven is the real thing. Heaven is the multidimensional thing. And earth just kind of looks like maybe those photos look to you. They look pretty, but they're not what actually heaven is, the real thing. Heaven is where we experience it in all its full glory. It's multidimensional and it's going to be amazing. And I don't know about you, but as I've read over passages of what heaven looks like, especially in Revelation, in the past, I've just kind of gone, oh yeah, that sounds nice. Pictures of jasper and crystal and stones, I think, yep, that's pretty nice. It hasn't really sunk into me, the beauty of heaven, but I think for me, this series has really brought that out. It's much more beautiful than we can imagine and much more beautiful than what we have seen here on earth. And in Hebrews chapter 11, I think Jeff read out this passage last week, it talks about people here on earth who love Jesus are looking for a better place, a more beautiful place, and that place is heaven. Let me read the passage. It said, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. They were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It is a real city, and it is magnificent and beautiful. So as we continue this series, Imagine Heaven, I think it is really important for our vision here at a church, because it changes so much about our identity in Jesus, in belonging to Jesus, in our life here and now when we understand heaven. And Jesus said in the Bible that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And then to love your neighbour as yourself. This is our job, our mandate here on earth as Christians. And when we imagine heaven, if you've been here last week, or you can jump on the website and listen to the podcast, these people who have had a near-death experience or NDE talk about the purpose of heaven. And in heaven, we are there, and God's love is all-encompassing. And our love for our spiritual family is so... They can't even describe it. I can't even describe it. I haven't had an NDE experience like that. But it is just so encompassing and so real. It kind of makes me understand that Jesus said, look, this is what is here on earth. This is what we're called to do, to love God and to love our neighbour, because that's what it's all about in heaven. We are living in a shadow of heaven. And Jesus calls us to bring a little glimpse of heaven to earth to those who don't know him. It makes sense to me. And we're going to hear a couple more NDE experiences this morning. And all of these experiences are just a glimpse, a sneak peek into what's to come. And it's kind of exciting. And we're in our third week, like you know, and I think there are probably some people here who are still maybe a little bit sceptical about the stories you hear. And I think that's okay, because just hearing one-off stories, there can be something a bit off about it. But when we collectively put them together and understand and search the scriptures, do they match? We can see and get a picture of what God has already said through testimonies of people. But if you're in that skepticism, don't stay there. Draw into God. Search it out for yourself. Pick up the scriptures, because I think it's dangerous when we don't do that, where we're skeptical and we don't seek it for ourselves. And in that seeking for ourselves, God will draw you clear and give you a glimpse through his Holy Spirit teaching and guiding you. And if you don't have a book, Imagine Heaven, they're out the back and you can buy them online. And join one of the discussion groups that are going on. They're a great place to bounce off your thoughts and ideas and get some other input into that. So far in this series, we've heard from doctors, professors, airline pilots and pastors. And sometimes we can even think, how can there be an invisible place called heaven? It really does kind of sound airy-fairy. It sounds like a science fiction movie where an alternate reality is taking place, where people don't have physical bodies, and yet they are fully recognisable. How do our earthly minds grasp that concept? How do we reconcile that? I know I can't, but I think that's one of the mysteries of God, and it is a faith element. But you know what? It's not blind faith. We have the Bible that gives us insight. We have people's testimony, and we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who Jesus said will teach us and guide us. And I think the irony of it is that science is often used to rebuff the concept of heaven. But yet, as we look and as science is exploring more and more, it's pointing actually more and more towards heaven. And in physics, I didn't actually study physics at school and I don't understand a whole lot about it. But there is a theory called Kaluza-Klein theory. And I looked it up during the week on Wikipedia and all those sites to try and get an understanding of it. And there's also YouTube videos that help you kind of understand this theory. So Google away if you want. But this theory is, it's called a unified field theory of gravitation and electromagnetism, built around the idea of an unseen fifth element, fifth dimension. So there's this unseen fifth dimension where scientists don't know what it is, but it's there. And in physics equations and mathematics, they don't make sense unless they factor in this unseen fifth dimension. It's quite interesting. And after this theory was developed, there was another book that came out called In the Elegant Universe by Brian Greene, and he discusses in this book how quantum mechanics and general relativity only reconcile if there are six more hidden dimensions to our universe. This is science. And if there has to be an unseen reality to make sense of our scientific observations here on Earth, then why can't we conceive that heaven exists in a higher dimension of space that we can't actually see? We know that God has revealed in his Bible that it's true, that heaven exists. And it's exciting to see that science is just catching up with what God has already said. Jesus has made it possible for us to see heaven in this unseen dimension here on earth. We all will face death, and when we die, Jesus has made the way to be there in heaven with him. Jesus was talking to a lady named Martha in the book of John, and he says to Martha, I am the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And he's saying that to you and me. And in our living after dying, we'll live with God in a place called heaven, a magnificent place. And in the book Imagine Heaven, there are lots and lots of stories, but I want to read one out to you today. It's a man named Brad Burrows. And this man was born blind from birth, but when he was 8 years old, he had an NDE experience. And Brad found himself in an immense field stretching before him for what seemed like miles. He noticed huge palm trees with enormous leaves and very tall grass as well. And he says, I was walking up this field. It seemed as I was so exhilarated and so unbelievingly renewed that I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay forever where I was. There is no way I could describe the peace and tranquility. The weather was absolutely perfect in terms of temperature and humidity. It was so fresh, so unbelievably fresh, that the mountain air on earth could not even come close. So it's kind of interesting that a blind man is picking up more about the non-visual aspects. So he's talking about the feeling of the air. It's kind of cool. And he goes on to say, there was tremendous light up there. It seemed to come from every direction. It was all around and everywhere that I happened to be looking. It seemed like everything, even the grass I'd been stepping on, seemed to soak in the light. It seemed like the light could actually penetrate through everything, even the leaves on the trees. There was no shade. There was no need for shade. The light was actually all-encompassing. Yet I wondered how I could know that because I'd never seen before that point. I felt like I could understand it happened. I wouldn't understand if it happened on Earth. But where I was able to accept it almost immediately. That's pretty cool, a blind man seeing grass, trees, fields, palm trees. And what NDEs experience is not totally different to what we see here on Earth, but yet they describe it more alive, more vibrant, more real. And it's interesting reading and watching these testimonies about people's experience. And they're so vivid and so real. I'm not sure if you guys have ever had a dream before, but in dreams, details are often fuzzy, colours aren't quite there or they're really dull. I know in my dreams, if I don't write them down, the memories fade. I forget them. But these people who've had these NDE experiences, even years after the event, are so overcome with emotion. Their memory of the event is so detailed and so vivid. It's amazing. It's not like a dream. And I love in the book and in video clips that we watch how many people talk about something so simple as grass. How even in heaven the grass has so much beauty, light surrounding the grass. And as I was preparing this message, I remembered this photo which is on the screen. And this was taken at Yorkeys Knob probably about a year ago, just on my phone, so not a very good camera again. But when I heard about people's experience of witnessing the grass, I thought about this picture. The sun has just risen and it's directly behind the grass. But if you have a look at the grass, it seems like the light is shining through the grass. The light is around the grass. And I thought, well, this is a picture on earth where we can see the light kind of doing what they're talking about in heaven. And this is probably, this is a pretty average photo because it was taken on my phone. Can you imagine when we're seeing it with our heavenly eyes? Look at this and imagine way more beautiful. And it's exactly what those people's testimonies are talking about. And this is just grass. And do you realize that when people in the Bible got visions of heaven, they describe this super reality? And the Apostle John, when he wrote Revelation, is trying to describe that, and he's grappling for words. In Revelation 21, he says, "He took me in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper as clear as crystal." And in chapter 22, "Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit." Magnificent. You think about when someone gets newly engaged and their diamond ring is like without dirt and it sparkles. And we think, that's amazing. Imagine what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be like that, but more amazing. The Apostle John is grappling for words. He doesn't have earthly words to describe what he's seeing here. And that's the same as the testimonies we've heard. It'd be like witnessing an accident and people all standing around. They're all looking at the same thing, but they've all got different vantage points and they're all describing slightly different details. And that's going to be like the city of God. And the testimonies that we hear, they're all looking at the same thing and experiencing slightly different things from different vantage points, but they're all explaining the beauty of God. How fun is it going to be to explore this place? To explore, we think going on holidays here on earth is amazing because we get to see some cool stuff. Imagine what it's going to be like in heaven when we get to explore that. And Paul, one of the other apostles in Corinthians, wrote, who had a vision of heaven, he says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit." God has revealed this to us by his Spirit. It's wonderful, and it's more than we can imagine. What we experience here on earth is a marred creation. It's wounded. And heaven is creation as it's meant to be. In Romans, Paul explains, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from the death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up until the present time." So earth is looking forward to a new creation that God's going to bring. And Isaiah in the Old Testament has a vision of heaven also, and he says in chapter 6, he sees angels crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And in chapter 11, he goes on to say, "The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord." Heaven is going to be harmonious. There's going to be no death, no pain, no suffering. A wolf and a child can live together. It's going to be spectacular and beautiful. And we're going to watch now a slightly longer testimony from Dale Black. This is a pilot who survived a plane crash, and he had an NDE afterwards, so this is his experience.
For 40 years, he has been a commercial pilot. flew for many years for a major commercial airline. He's flown everything from 747s to Cessnas, everything in between. At age 19, he survived a plane crash that killed the other two men in the cockpit. But you hit right near the top, and then you free fell 75 feet. You hit it at 135 miles an hour. Now, there's a plane down at the bottom, and the fact that you are sitting across from me right now is an amazement.
They classified it as non-survivable. There was some bystanders that came by and saw all three pilots laying there motionless, and one was clearly dead. The other two appeared dead, and there was fuel and toxic fumes everywhere.
You were severely injured. They rushed you to the hospital. They didn't figure you were going to live.
I get into the emergency room. I'm literally away from my body, Jim, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
But I'm obviously not dead because I've never felt more alive. It's impossible to prove, but one thing I can say is I've never been the same. My life has always beat on a different drum, and it's because of this experience that we're talking about.
You know, Dale, it's been so fun. We've hung out the last day or so, and just, you know, I mean, you are a captain, you're an engineer mind, and have run multi-million-dollar businesses in the airline industry, and yet this experience has defined your life, hasn't it?
That's an understatement, but yes, it is true.
So take us back to that day. That was the very plane took the lives of the other two pilots with you.
Yeah.
What happened? What do you remember after that crash?
I hovered above the crash site, watching, learning, asking questions, followed the ambulance. My body was put in the ambulance, raced to the hospital, even though they thought I was dead to begin with. Their life came back in me. I went into the hospital, but not in my body, but above it. In the emergency room, they were working on me, doctors and nurses, cutting my gray slacks and shirt off. I was all bloodied, and I was pretty much of a mess. But I watched this from what looked like a bird's eye view, and I saw all the commotion going on. I'm asking questions. I had this life review of one moment in my life. Not all my life, just one moment of my life, and it was when I was in the fifth grade where I had prayed to receive Jesus into my heart as a young 11, 12-year-old kid. And I was full of zeal for God at that time, wanted to live for him with my life, and I was genuine and sincere. But when this flashback took place in the emergency room when I was in this accident, I realized that I was no longer that young kid who loved God. I was a kid who had kind of lost my way and loved my life and loved my goals and my dreams because it was all about me. It was all about what I wanted, not what God wanted. And I was sad about what had become of me. But the grief and all suddenly departed, and I moved out of the hospital into a deep outer space. Long story there. It's in the book, of course. But I saw this city of gold this golden, brilliant, it was white light in the center, but it moved out, and it was a ball of heavy, thick gold light. And all the colors in the rainbow were in the white, but what I saw was the white and the gold. And as I got closer and closer, Pastor John, I knew that this was the city, a holy city. I knew I was in heaven.
You're coming, like flying into a city.
Yeah, flying into a city, approaching and decelerating and descending. Why God would do that?
Only God would do that for a pilot, right?
But there was, of course, the mountains and the flowers and the air, all the things that you've mentioned before. But there was this humongous crowd of people and angels that I was able to see from a long, long way away. I was looking over the wall, but still on the outside of the city. And this group of people and angels were moving with the music, and they were moving in praise and swaying with the music, and talk about oneness and unity and love. There's life in music. The light is full of life and love, and it's light that's palpable. It's thick. It has substance and weight to it, and all the colors in the rainbow are in it. But that light, and I knew it was coming from God. I knew it. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew this was God. I mean, it's like you would say here on the earth, well, duh, you know. It's God. The light comes from God, but in that light is the love of God. How do you describe the love of God? Well, you spend a lifetime trying to do that. It's unconditional love. It's not based on who you are, what skills or talents you have, how much money or success you have. It's based on just the fact that you and I are the creation of God, and He loves us.
So I want you to describe, since we're talking about the beauty of the surrounding landscape around this city and in the city. And
the funniest thing is you're asking me who, you know, I've grew up with machines and I enjoy machinery. And then there's nothing like that in heaven, of course. There's nothing mechanical there that I was aware of or never saw. But it's all made by God, and it's all made into perfection. How do you describe it? Everything's perfect. I remember the first thing I noticed coming into the city was, if I may, just the grass. The grass was so incredible. I mean, it was an aha moment, we would say. I just took my breath away because I never seen grass that was wild and perfectly manicured, yet mankind, no human being, no angel had to touch it. Light came through the grass from the source of the light, which is God Himself. It pulsated in the grass itself. Every blade was not bent or twisted. It was perfection. It looked more like velvet. And that's just the grass.
But you know what's so... You got to read Imagine Heaven, because so many people talk about the grass, and they can't stop describing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. I mean, so you told me as you were flying in, back behind the city was a mountain range.
Yeah, beautiful mountains, very much like these that you just showed, but not mountains you would want to conquer in any way, but mountains you would just revere.
What do you mean?
Because of the majesticness that God created. You just look at the mountains and just go, oh, wow, oh my gosh. But maybe unlike you, because you might be there when you're there. You might look at the mountains and take more time to do so, but I was more interested in what was happening with the people, the God's creation.
So I hope that gives you a little glimpse into the beauty and magnificence of heaven. So as I finish up, I want to read to you Revelation 21, a passage out of that. And maybe as I read, you can close your eyes and ask God in your spirit to allow those words to capture a little bit of what heaven might be like, to capture that this is a place where God has called all of us to, and it's through His Son that we can be there, through His sacrifice and through trusting in Him, that this is a place of beauty where no one gets hurt. There is no suffering. Ask God to give you a glimpse of heaven today here on earth, so that as we live our life here on earth, we can show people a glimpse of that heaven as we love our neighbor and as we love God. So let's close your eyes as I read chapter 21 of Revelation. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need for sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that just through people's testimony and through what you've got in the scriptures, we can truly just capture a little glimpse of what's to come. And I pray this morning that as we look at the beauty of heaven and what you have created and the shadow that we see here on earth, that we can just truly understand that we have a better place to go to. And Lord, that as we live our life here on earth, loving you with all our hearts and loving our neighbour, that we can bring a glimpse of heaven to the people around us and for people to understand that you are the way, the truth and the life. And I pray that this understanding will be so real to us today. In your name, amen.